السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers, in the three ayat of the Quran Sharif which you heard in the khutbah of the nikah and which we have been listening to over the years, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is ordering us to have taqwa, to have piety, to stay away from haram. The khutbah of nikah, or the occasion of nikah, we know is an occasion of happiness, of joy, of rejoicing. It is an occasion of thanksgiving to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that He blessed the person with a wife so that he may remain protected from zina, from adultery, or from fornication. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it is His great ihsan and ni'mat that He made halal for us certain women for the purpose of marriage. We know that in some nations they considered, or some people they considered, remaining aloof, staying away from marriage, as being a sign of spirituality. Whereas Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam proved with his marriages that a person, no matter how many tahajjud he has made, zikr he has made, tilawat he has made, and how much of ibadat he has made, but if the person has to make nikah, then it is not going to affect his spirituality. In fact, it is going to increase the spirituality if the person restrains himself from haram. That is the important thing. After the nikah also, the person restrains himself from haram, so then it will increase his spirituality. It will increase his connection with Allah Ta'ala. It will give him elevation of his status and position. It will not in any way decrease his spirituality. That is Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's ta'aleem. If you have to look at the Quran Sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings, then there's so much of emphasis on this taqwa. And one of the things that causes great damage to this taqwa is evil gazes. Haram gazes causes great damage to this taqwa. The serenity of the heart is gone. When the person is casting lustful glances, the serenity of the heart is gone. The tranquility of the heart is gone. And then if that gaze then leads to further development, then that person can sometimes even lose his iman. How many people have given away their Islam and iman just for the sake of some pretty face? So that is what causes damage to that person's spirituality. Now for the protection of that iman, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave us certain guidelines. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us certain guidelines. And therefore he called his nikah his way of life. An-nikahu min sunnati. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if we have to look at the ahadith, says, إِذَا تَزَوَّجَ الْعَبْدُ فَقَدْ إِسْتَكْمَلَ نِصْفَ الْإِيمَانِ فَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهِ فِي نِصْفِ الْبَاقِي. That when a person marries, then he has perfected or completed half of his iman. That means half of that iman was in that marriage. Meaning that if that person did not have any kind of genuine, valid reason for delaying the marriage or not marrying, if he did not have any valid reason, so then he is affecting his spirituality, he will not be able to perfect his iman. There are many people who have got very valid reasons and they don't get married, that is understandable. The person is so sick that he will not be able to do justice to a wife, or the person is financially in such dire straits that he will not be able to provide the necessary food, accommodation and clothes for the wife, or the person has got some kind of a weakness in him that he blows his fuse every little while, every little thing, and his fuse blows and he becomes so angry that he's liable to beat up his wife and do injustice, and he's got yaqeen also that that is how he is going to behave. So then for such people it is not permissible to marry. Then they must stay away, believing that Allah Ta'ala is watching every move and every action of theirs. And if the person is young and the passion is increasing, then he must fast. But those people who have got the ability to marry and Allah Ta'ala has provided them sufficiently and they do not have any other impediments, then that is the teaching of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that they must make nikah. And one of the benefits, or one of the major benefits of that nikah, which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself mentioned, was فَإِنَّهُ أَغَضُّ لِلْبَصَرِ وَأَحْسَنُ لِلْفَرْجِ. In other words, it is something that will make the person lower his gaze, because this gaze, when the person is going to cast like wild animals all around on the streets and in the bazaars and in the marketplaces and everywhere else. Of course, there are exceptions. There are certain patients that doctors have to see, or there are certain occasions where the person has to interact in the business or somewhere else. So then there too, the person must try and avoid being alone in the office or wherever it is with a female who is not his mahram, who is a stranger to him. So then they must avoid such kind of situations where shaitan and nafs can begin to tempt them. Or in the business houses, we have to look around so that people are not stealing, women are not stealing. So at that time also, the person must try to look across, or he must not start admiring the beauty. Try and lower the gaze wherever it is not necessary to really look up. But on the bazaars, in the bazaars, in the marketplaces, at the airports and on the aeroplanes and everywhere else, then what is the real need? Therefore, if you have to look at Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam also, when we were discussing that when he was giving a talk to a very, very big audience, then one person came to him and said, "Oh Luqman, are you not that same shepherd that at one time used to graze sheep with me?" He said, "I was a shepherd, you were a shepherd, we used to graze sheep. Then what is it that, and graze cattle, then what is it that made you reach such heights that you became Luqman Hakim? What is it that made you reach such heights?" And we know that Allah Ta'ala revealed the whole surah with that title, Luqman, Surah Luqman. So besides the other things that he mentioned, where he said, for example, that one of the things is that I never spoke a lie. Whatever it was, I never spoke a lie. I fulfilled my promises. He says, I controlled my tongue. My tongue also was under control. It was disciplined. It was not that I just start swearing and cursing and abusing people with this tongue and slicing the hearts of people with the tongue. Because sometimes the wound which is caused through a blade or through a knife or through a stabbing incident, that wound can heal. But sometimes words are such that the person's wound never heals. It's a lifelong problem, especially when it is husband and wife. Many a times the person just utters and blurts out such kind of statements which has shattered the heart of the wife. After that he tries to keep on patching up, but it doesn't patch up because he has already created such a deep stab wound. And sometimes the wife says certain things which seriously injures the heart of the husband. It slices the heart. Thereafter, no matter how much she says, I love you, but it doesn't seem to have any effect because of that wound which has been created through the tongue, through words that came out of the mouth. This subject we have dealt with in great detail on many other occasions. So the control of this tongue was so important. So the Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that on the control of the tongue. And then one of the things that he mentioned there was also the control of my gaze, that I did not cast my gaze around looking at pretty women. I did not cast lustful glances. Now that is the thing. And besides that, he mentioned other things. There is no time to repeat. But he said, these are the things. And together with the gaze, you will always find the mention of chastity, that the person was safeguard, guarded from zina. He protected himself from engaging in adultery or fornication. So Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam says that that is another thing that I was engaging in, that I stayed away from any kind of illicit relationship. So when he mentioned these things, then he said that these are the things that if you adopt also, Allah Ta'ala will make you rise high stages. Allah Ta'ala will give you that same kind of respect which you are seeing in, that He has given to me. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also, he emphasized it. And therefore he says that this nikah is something that will make the person lower his gaze. The du'as of a person sometimes are not accepted. And many other things happen when the person gets involved in illicit love relationships. So at that time, because Allah Ta'ala is the creator of passion in man, because He wants to perpetuate this human race till the day of Qiyamah, so therefore He gave that permissibility that certain women you are allowed to marry, and all the other details that go with it, which we cannot discuss in 15 minutes here. So nikah must be undertaken with that intention that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives the person the protection from casting lustful glances, from engaging in fornication, or from going across the board, engaging in illicit love relationships. And also the niyyah that Allah Ta'ala bless with a pious and a righteous child. Because when a person dies, then everything comes to an end. Everything comes to an end. The person cannot now do any good deeds anymore. Life has ended. And no one knows when this life is going to end. Shukriya qabr tak pahunchane walo, shukriya. Ab is manzil se akele hi chale jayenge hum. Thank you very much, oh you people who conveyed me to the grave. From this manzil, from this station now, I will proceed on my own. There will be nobody that will be accompanying me anymore. Even the wife is not prepared to sleep with the husband in the grave. The children are not prepared to sleep with the father in the grave or the mother in the grave. The parents are not prepared to sleep with the children in the grave, no matter how dearly they love that child. But ask any mother or father, you really love this child, why don't you go and spend a few nights in the grave? Shukriya qabr tak pahunchane walo, shukriya. Ab is manzil se akele hi chale jayenge hum. Kai baar humne ye dekha ke jinka mushayyan badan tha, muattar kafan tha. Jo qabre kohan uski ukhdi to dekha, na uzwe badan tha, na tare kafan tha. How many times we saw, and this I repeated many, many times, but it's just coming, so I'm not going to hold it back. How many times we have seen that people who are fit, healthy, young, everything going for them, beautiful car, cell phones of the latest model, beautiful home, everything going for them, good health also. They were jogging, running, dancing, skipping, rave clubs, discos, cinemas, theaters was their way of life. Kai baar humne ye dekha ki jinka mushayyan badan tha, muattar kafan tha. Their clothes also were time to shine clothes, latest trend, designer labels. Thereafter suddenly the angel of death squeezed the soul out of their bodies, suddenly. While jogging they died, whilst in the rave club the person went, whilst in the disco he went flat, whilst with his illicit love heart stopped beating. How many people died in the flats and in the homes? Ask me, I deal with cases, I know. How many died in the hotel rooms whilst engaged in prostitution or with the prostitutes? On Eid day, a person's body was picked up from the prostitute quarters on Eid day. 200 people died in a cinema on Eid day. The clubhouses that burnt down, the discos that caught on fire. All these type of things we read every day, but it doesn't really impact on our hearts, because we say it happened to him, it happened to her, it happened to somebody that was other than myself. And yet we are in those same kind of actions and activities. When we go into a rave club and disco, whilst we are popping drugs into our mouths, whilst the person is engaged in adultery or fornication, at that time does Shaitan even allow him to think that your death could come in this state? The Shaitan allow the person to think that your death could also come in the same state. And if you're going to die like that, what an embarrassment, How is your family going to face the society? What if the newspapers are then going to report that so and so was found in the prostitute quarters at the escort agency? How are you going to face, or how embarrassed the family is going to be when they are going to talk around your janaza? This is where the person died. One person died in the Wild Coast some time back. He was at the gambling tables, and after that, after a little while, he collapsed and went. Then asked me how difficult it was for the people to conceal what happened, because how are you going to conceal? And the people were from a good family. So therefore he says, Kai bara humne ye dekha, jinka mushayyan badanta muattar kafanta. And then afterwards, when the qabr was opened after some time, then there was no sign of the body, no sign of the thread of that kafan. So Allah Ta'ala has made this life, or made this world, a world of means. And as it is a world of means, so nobody says that we must not make use of the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. The gifts of Allah Ta'ala upon us, which He is pouring upon us. Just look at the gifts of Allah Ta'ala. Go to the hospitals and see what is happening there. It could be a rahmat and a mercy and a blessing for many people who are in the hospitals. So I'm not talking about that. Sickness can be a rahmat and a mercy also. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself fell sick. Many of the sahabas fell sick. So that doesn't mean that they were being punished. But for people like us who are engaging in sins and haram and vices and evils all the time, and even when the person is on the hospital bed, then he cannot move his gaze out of the television screen which is right in front of him. Whilst he is sick, he cannot make salat. Although there's so much of concession now that if you cannot make wuzu, make tayammum. You cannot sit and read, lie down and read. But read your salat. So the person is not prepared to even think of Allah Ta'ala whilst he is on a hospital bed. So therefore, when the person is laid in his grave, they'll say, Shukriya qabr tak pahunchane walo, shukriya. Ab is manzil se akele hi chale jayenge hum. So in this world of the many, many ni'mats and bounties of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, this is a great bounty that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala made it halal and permissible for us to marry some woman within the category that you can marry. For the protection of our gaze, for the protection of our desires which are evil, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala want to safeguard us from going into haram and then landing up in the prison of hell. Allah Ta'ala does not want us to go there. So the person finds peace and sukoon, he will find paradise on earth. I always say that the person who will fulfill the rights of his wife, or he will go the extra mile, he is not going to go by the book, what is my right, what is my right, what is my right. This is our problem today, that everyone is reading the rights of others, or the book that should be read by others. The chapters which should be read by the other party, we are reading. The wife should be reading what are the rights of the husband. How can I go the extra mile to keep the heart of my husband in my hands, to prevent him and protect him from running away to other women? How can I go the extra mile, overlook his shortcomings, weakness, but win him over with love and affection and compassion and mercy and kindness? So the wife should be reading that chapter. And the husband should be reading that chapter, that how must I treat this woman who has come into my marriage? With the fazl of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, only she has come into my marriage. She was a total stranger and today she has become my life partner. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we say, created them of the left rib. So that doesn't mean if it's created of the left rib, then the person must take the left rib to the hospital to straighten it out. Have you heard of anyone? Because the left rib is crooked, so now I must take it to the hospital and straighten it out. We live with the left rib and it is on the side. It's on our side. So therefore what it means that there must be compassion, mercy, kindness, overlook her weakness, shortcomings, think that she has left her parents. And how would we like somebody to treat our daughter if she is given in marriage? If somebody comes and tells us that, or if our daughter comes back and tells us that, dear mother or father, you got me married to a wonderful person. What a kind person he is. What a compassionate person he is. What a loving person he is. What akhlaq he has got. He's got the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in him. When he comes into the home, he's cheerful, he's making salam, and he even helps me and assists me in the home in sweeping, cleaning, washing. To some extent, the person assists the wife like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, even though it may be just for the sake of sunnah to make amal on it. Was that not the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? Instead of just lying on our beds and just shouting and screaming all the time, clothes are not yet ironed and food is not yet ready and this is not ready and that is not ready. So the person has some kind of patience, some kind of tolerance, the person exercises some kind of care and compassion and mercy. So now if that daughter has to come and tell the father and the parents that this is how my husband is treating me, then that father-in-law will feel like writing the whole property on the name of the son-in-law. He says, you'd rather take this property from now because you're treating my daughter in an excellent manner. And if that daughter comes back home after 1 week, 2 months, 6 months and 1 year and says, what a person you got me married to, that this person is a drug addict, this person is a womanizer. He leaves me at home and he goes we don't know where and he comes back at home in the morning, 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock, which is so common these days. And if you have to ask him, he says, mind your own business. And he is so abusive and he is all the time screaming and shouting, and when he walks in then I'm afraid. To me it's like a tiger or a lion that has walked in. And yet with his friends he is like a lamb. And he's so kind and so accommodating and so generous and large hearted. Then will that father-in-law ever feel like giving anything to that person? So just as we would like to treat somebody else to treat our daughter, that is the kind of treatment we must give to others' daughters that come into our marriage. And then believe me, my dear brothers, believe me, I'm telling you that it is something that causes pain on the heart. Sometimes we say, what is causing all this pain? So many cases we deal with. And if it's not going to cause pain, what is it going to do? We can't do like attorneys, just take one case, so much charges and finish. We have become part of the case. So there are so many cases of abuse now. Not even worth discussing any of those cases anymore. Everybody knows what the problems are. But women are crying. They prefer that the husband sometimes is dead than being alive. Sometimes when the husband dies, then people sympathize with the wife and they say, we are very sad and sorry to hear that your husband passed away. So she does not tell everybody that I'm very happy, but some special friends of hers, what a relief this animal went. So do we want to live like that? If not, then we have to bring those teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam into our lives. There's such beauty in his teachings. Ashal ajmal akmal. Very simple, very beautiful and perfect. May Allah Ta'ala bless this marriage and all other marriages with bliss and happiness. May Allah bless this couple and all other couples with long life, good health, pious and righteous children. And Allah Ta'ala bless us with a life of taqwa. May Allah remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering and the problems of the ummah around the globe, especially in Palestine. Allah Ta'ala must remove the difficulties, and of course in Africa and other parts of the world it's the same thing. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.